No, it is not Saturday night. No, we are not in my camper.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah.
But it is Sunday, and it's time for the Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast. And, of course, we are presented by our friends at MacDine and the MacDine Corporation. I got a wonderful, wonderful email the other day. I should have pulled it up. I'll read it to you guys. I'll read some of it for you next week. But it was of a gentleman who Bloom was at the Sports Performance Center, the new one.
Okay.
At Iowa State, and he had heard us talking about MacDine before, and he was just like, man, like, guy seemingly didn't know anything about what MacDine does and who they are until he had heard them on our podcast, which is great, means that it's working. And he was just like, I don't think you guys talk it up enough, basically. And it's like, well, we try, because they do really good work.
It's hard to explain until you can see it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go and see the visuals in the Sports Performance Center.
Just go knock on Matt Campbell's office and be like, hey, we heard about, listen, that good one. We want to go see what the MacDine folks did.
Yeah. Got to go see the MacDine.
Check them out. MacDine.com. MECHDYNE.com. They are headquartered in Marshalltown, located all over the world.
They do way more than just.
Man, they do so much.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff.
Go to their careers page. If you're stuck in a rut, if you hate your job, check them out. Phenomenal company. With that, let's fire it up. Clones beat Oklahoma State. Big one this weekend. A little Halloween week. Let's fire up some English now. Horns. Pretty funny. My dad's known Chris English, the lead singer of English, since we were in college.
Sure. Freddie Court days.
And dad was talking to me before the game. I don't even know how it got I know, because we went to go and see some of my, I had my camper set up.
Yeah.
And so when I do that, like, it's just, honestly, it's selfish for me, because then Friday night I can just sleep, and then I just roll out of bed and go to work. It's great. But it's also great for the family, because they have, like, an awesome tailgating spot.
Yeah,
like,
it's a great, great location.
Yeah, it's a great location. They got a TV.
It is a pretty sweet setup. And
yeah, you wouldn't
know. I'll get into it. Yeah. I wrote a check my body could not cash.
But my dad goes, yeah, you know, that English song, the one with the horns, it's pretty catchy. He's like, I wasn't into it at first, but I think I like it. But it's just funny, because he's like, yeah, the one with the horns. That's the that's the way he knew it.
Considering that your dad still loves the Jock Jams.
He does.
And the guy's got a great taste of music.
My old man, too, is the single greatest follow on Twitter if you're a Cyclone fan.
He's great.
I'm not going to promote his Twitter, because I don't want him to get a big head. But
probably. Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
God, I'll just say this. There are a number of coaches in the Iowa State Athletic Department who intensely wait for my dad's tweets.
He is, if you're mid-60s troll towards the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He hates Iowa.
But he does it in a very respectful way. It's not
He was always an Iowa fan, and then he's just the really best. Like, he's a great dad, and he's all in on, like, everything that we're doing, and he has a lot of fun.
I could see him blasting English now at your old home.
All right, real quick, just for the fun of it, and then we'll get into a complete breakdown of all things Iowa State this week, good and bad. And another massive Big 12 game. We're going to lead with the worst call in the history of college football.
And a give to Hall. No throw. Over the middle. Caught. Hutchinson wide open. He'll take it all the way for a Cyclone touchdown. They went RPO and now a flag after the play. A flag at the end of the play as Hutchinson took it all the way for the Cyclone touchdown.
The touchdown will come back. I mean, it's going to be taunting. I mean, come on. But it will be a first down, but it'll be probably at the 18-yard line. The kind of thing you'd never see called.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, offense number 8. That penalty will be enforced from the spot of the foul. 15-yard penalty, first down.
They zero in on the guy with the Bush Latte shirt on there.
I would love to get another look at what he did. I don't know, did he raise the ball?
I mean,
how often do you see it?
The fun police are out here at Ames.
Hutchinson
did a great job.
Open.
I mean, it was just a quick slant. Safeties had crashed on the play fake.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
That
you
is
see this?
Horrible.
This is like the worst call in NCAA history.
They put the ball at the 18-yard line, Cyclone KSIH red zone.
And as Chris Hassel notes on Twitter, the professionalism of John Walters to get the KSIH red zone in there. What a move. And that was courtesy of our friends at Learfield. Brent Bloom with the production of the program.
Yeah, so I was running the show there.
What were you doing? Like, what's your reaction?
Well, so my reaction is, once I saw the flag, I'm the one going, it's going to be at the 18-yard line. I mean, because when that
happens, didn't know that was a thing. Because yeah, me and so Woody Woody said the same thing. And I was like, no, that's a touchdown. It'll be enforced on the extra
so
point.
So it's happened before. Okay. This was horrible. This was absolutely horrible. But
yeah, you're not defending it, but explain it.
No. Like, so this actually happened for Iowa State for Iowa State's benefit in the Alamo Bowl against Washington State. If you remember that game, Purdy throws a pick.
I don't remember this.
Yep. Throws a pick six, almost pick six, on the first possession. The Washington State guy does the, you know, prances with the ball out over the end zone.
Yep.
Same thing. Gets brought back to the 15. They ended up, or 16, they ended up scoring a touchdown.
But also, that was real taunting. Like,
right,
I mean, even though I don't like it. Like,
so this is where the context gets missed a little bit. I'm going to put my rules hat on. And I'm not defending it because it was a horrible call.
Yeah.
But in the NCAA rule book, there's a section called unsportsmanlike acts. And in one of the unsportsmanlike acts, so there's a couple of really good ones, like pointing the finger or slashing the throat. I mean, clearly, simulating the firing of a weapon is also on there. Again, probably good to have that as an unsportsmanlike act.
Well, that's just for the when you're playing Texas Tech.
That's right. But also in there, under Section E, is an unopposed being the key word here, an unopposed ball carrier obviously altering stride when approaching the opponent's goal line or diving into the end zone. Essentially high-stepping.
Yeah, I mean, blame Dion.
Yes. So this is in the rule book. Yeah. It is like, as somebody pointed out, this is like getting pulled over for going 56 and a 55.
Yeah, that's good. And Randy Peterson tried to, I'm assuming Randy was the pool reporter, yesterday,
the field judge.
Well, no, so Randy went to Bob Berta, who's like the director of the Big 12, like communications.
Okay,
and Bob said that, and Bob's really good at his job, and so is Randy. Like, Randy's as good at this like pool reporting type stuff as you can find. And yeah, they told him because it's a judgment call.
Yeah,
it is not like they don't have to comment on it because it's a total judgment. It's not, like considered, so like, I don't even know if they were wrong. I thought spots were short all day.
Yeah, it was
for
weird.
Both teams.
Yep.
But that is not even like considered judgment because you can review
you can
that.
Review a spot,
right? And you can go back and say, well, this is where the video, like, that is not reviewable. It's 100% judgment, like pass interference.
Yep.
Right.
And that's also why his crew partners couldn't really help him out there because he's the one right by the play, and It was awful. I mean, it was an awful call. The guy, what I think happened, Chris, because I've been in this position before, is you see Hutchinson slow down a little bit. He didn't really high step, but I think the official anticipated it was going to be a lot worse.
I actually thought that he, for a second, was looking back to see if anyone was coming.
Yeah, and that, but yeah. I think so. Yeah. And for that field judges in his position there, there's not often where you get a breakaway touchdown like that, where he had 20 yards to think, okay, I might be able to get him. If he does this, I'm going to get him. And then he kind of did.
Yeah, no, he was showboating a little bit. Yeah,
I mean, I think that was his time to go. Yep. Rule E right there. Article E. He did that. No, I'm thinking as an official does. Like this.
Yeah, well, and that was like one of their like points of emphasis or something.
In that moment, he's probably thinking, yep, got him. Like, okay, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. The field judge, in reality, doesn't get a lot of action. And so, I'm being honest. And so this was his time.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So... I mean, it was a bad call.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. This is my life.
It was a bad call. I mean, and it happened to Akram Wadley for Iowa a couple years back, too. Like, you don't see it very – it's very rarely called. It got pointed out to me on Twitter a couple times. Well, the Oklahoma quarterback yesterday did the same thing where he reached – but there was people around. So yeah. That's the key word is unopposed and, yeah. Show, and doing that.
You know what? I saw you tweeted that out, and I appreciated it, and I read everything. And my only takeaway to it was, man, there's too many rules.
Well, there's – yeah. You know? Should that really be in there?
Yeah.
Like, is this an unopposed player diving in the end zone?
It reminded me of, like, a really, like, corporate contract that, you know.
Totally. I mean, yeah. there's like, 12 of them underneath on Sportsman-like. So
– yeah.
It was awful.
Sorry, like I didn't mean to lead with that. I just audio pulled
that's
up.
That's the that was the big talking point, which is interesting. Obviously, it's a great win, but yet if you look nationally, I mean, it was pretty much a who's who of people tweeting about that horrible call. I mean, you had Mark Murphy, or even our guy Stu Mandel went on a rant today on his podcast, Chris, about that.
I don't listen to him.
I don't either. But
he didn't thank me for the bottle of whiskey that I sent him, and like he's gone. Like, I'm done with him.
Informed me he used the F word even with that rant. Yeah, so Stu really getting loose.
The only national one I listen to now is I love it. It's my favorite podcast other than Meyer to Blythe and Title IX and Fart. It's the Wetzel. Dan Wetzel's my favorite.
With 40 I think Dammel.
Dan Wetzel's nice job. Dan Wetzel's my favorite like media person, maybe of all time. Like I just think he's fantastic.
Big Cat went Barstool. Big Cat latched onto it too, so I got some run.
Man, yeah, it was
everywhere.
Quite the deal. I'm just glad to. And my biggest takeaway from the thing wasn't even the penalty. And I'd love to. I haven't talked to Matt. Was it him or Brock who instructed all of those balls to go back
right
to
back
X
to
right after it?
That
I'm guessing that was a Brock thing, but like, did you see the look on Matt's face? Have you watched the TV broadcast when it happens?
Epic.
He goes taunting and he's pointing to get him back out on the field because Matt was, it was like disappointed father, like,
yeah,
damn it.
What did you do?
Yeah.
But then he saw it.
I told you to slow down and you hit the deer anyway. I've been there. But that was awesome that they just – it was kind of like a middle finger to that line judge. Who's the guy?
The field judge.
Yeah, the line judge was the guy who was short. I can also attest to being short all the time. You know, sorry.
And you had to
– yeah, popped open the Cody Road a little earlier.
You go little man syndrome on Twitter with officials, which was –
I'm sorry, and I've apologized for it like three times.
That's kind of uncalled for shot.
I should not have tweeted it.
As somebody pointed out, not only is Bloom an official, but he's also not tall. So this is a direct shot at your friend.
Again, now listen. I, 10 years ago, would not have been able to, like 20 minutes after the fact, go, damn it, I shouldn't have tweeted that. Like, I would have still been digging in. I by the time I was like, okay, I took that too far. It had been retweeted like 400 times. I'm just kidding. It was like 30. But like, I'm like, well, it'd be cowardice to just go back.
You got
to
leave it up there.
Yeah. And so I've apologized for it twice. And I sincerely mean it. And I know officials have a hard job. I don't want it to be like the high school officials on Friday Night Lights. They're making nothing and it's thankless. And I appreciate all of you. That was very rude. And I should not have made that joke slash, but I was very angry.
But as
I'm sorry,
no,
Brent.
It's fine. I will just say as a
I never make fun of your height.
I pride myself on being a common sense official. I would not have made that call. That was your classic though hall monitor type official. Well, it's in the
what'd
rule
your
book.
Dad say? Honestly, I haven't talked to
I have,
him.
He, I knowing him, he would have not been a fan yeah, of it.
I didn't know what he.
I mean, there's
no. I'm not even about the call, but like. But this launched the whole like, oh, make him have a press conference after the game.
Yeah,
but
I don't
really think that that's ever been.
The only thing he would say is, look at article. I mean, I just read it. That's what I saw. And how do you argue with that? You can tell him, well, that's so dumb.
The way
but
I
that's
was,
what he saw.
The way I looked at this today, because I had somebody, a bunch of people saying that, and I go, in this case, I actually think it would have benefited the official. Because my guess is that official, when he goes back and sees it again, he's going to be like, yeah, I shouldn't have made that
yeah,
call.
Yeah, 100%.
This guy isn't like, oh, I want to ping this Hutchison kid today. Like, I don't believe that for a second. My guess is that guy, if he had instant replay on that, which you can't do, would have gone back and said, that was, yeah, I totally, I don't know what I was thinking. And then everybody would be like, oh, okay. But instead, like, we've spent 24 hours just roasting this guy.
Well, and I would guess, you know, majority of people don't know that's an actual rule, that you can't alter your stride.
My guess, though, is he does get, do you think he gets disciplined for that? Or is because it's a judgment call, will they not?
I would guess, I don't know how strong the discipline would be. It may be like, hey, pal.
Come on, chill out.
Right. So the interesting thing is,
or he just has to listen to Eric Heft roast him over and over.
That so the Twitter thing that got a lot of play, it went on longer than that from John Merrick, and that's why they're the absolute best. It was a good 4 or 5 minutes.
All right, then I shouldn't have to take my tweet down then.
No, but those
guys are way more mature and respected than
me.
Everybody knows I'm a hack. They're the legends.
John and Eric have had their moments with officials. This was probably as good as it gets. They were on it. And I was too. I just can't hear me. I'm just
first men's basketball game I had ever done play by play for. I'd done color a bunch.
Yep.
With you.
Yep.
But I was doing play by play with Eric at the Battle for Atlantis.
But those two guys are legends. They're the best.
Oh, they're
like, they are.
Yeah. And you know, I'm nervous.
A tough way to do your start down in this Battle for Atlanta.
Wasn't even nervous to call the game. I knew I could call the game. I was nervous because I didn't want to let Hef down. Like, you know, because it's like, that's the only reason I was nervous. I called a million games. You know, that's what I used to.
That's what you did. Yep.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't nervous because it was Iowa State. I've been around Iowa State a lot. I was nervous because I did not want to let Eric Hef down.
Yep.
That was it. And do you remember that? Like, I was stressing out about that trip because I didn't want to.
You were asking me, like, how do I handle Eric? Yeah. Eric is the most easygoing individual.
Oh, and I've drank a lot of beer with Eric Heff, but I've never worked with him in that sense.
He's
and like,
really good.
It's like, this guy's worked with two people, Pete Taylor and John Walters.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to F this thing up, and then like, I don't want to. Like, I was really, really nervous to do it. And Iowa State was playing Michigan. This was the Halliburton sophomore year before he got hurt.
Yep.
Before we really started to blow.
Mm-hmm. It went south. Because
it went south pretty fast. You know, and they were playing Michigan, who, after Battle for Atlantis, if you remember, would go on to be the number one team in the country. Iowa State's giving them a game. I think this. No. Tyrese did the call God thing against Alabama.
Right. But he was still pretty good against Michigan.
And Heft just stands up and starts giving this ref the business and calling him by his first name in that Michigan game. He's like, come on, Eric. Or like, he's like
John,
come on. Yeah.
Come on, John.
And the ref's like looking over at us and I'm like, oh no. Did he think it was me? Am I going to get tossed? Like, this ref just took it. And I'm like, pardon my French, everybody, earmuffs kids. Like, Eric Heft is a goddamn legend. He can sit here and just badmouth these refs by their first name, and they just take it because it's Heft. And, yeah, he's a goddamn legend.
He is awesome. He's a good dude. So
he's the all-time best.
You know, that clip was just a small portion. But I thought that play, that series of events, not only changed the game, because obviously, I would say we'd go on to score anyway.
Yeah, pissed everybody off.
But that was as sustained, loud environment, and it was special the rest of the way. From that point on, Jack Trice Stadium was electric. There was a solid 15-minute straight I felt like a, just booing. Even Iowa State scored. The Iowa State fans are like,
did the juicy wiggle comes
not,
back.
It's like, we're not letting this go, pal. You're still we're not over it yet. We, you know, as popular as juicy wiggle, we had that whole segment a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Iowa State
love
fans.
The juicy wiggle.
Iowa State fans, first and foremost, will give the officials hell first before anything else. And so I don't think I have seen a better atmosphere sustained at Jack Trice.
The only one I could, it's so weird because this game I said last week reminded me of the TCU game in 2017.
Sure.
Leading into it. Same time of year.
That was good too.
And that game was very similar. Yep. Just a hard nosed and like
slugfest.
Like that was a great crowd that day. And but I'm with you. I think it, that may have been my favorite crowd ever in an Iowa State game, but I don't know.
And it was just it was a really great football game all the way around.
Elite.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the better ones I've seen, so kudos to everybody. It was locked in from the start, but that whole sequence of events just took it to another level.
All right, we'll do more on the game real quick. When Iowa State wins now, we're doing a promotion with our friends at farmstorymeats.com. This is the best deal yet. Okay.
There's been some good ones. Well, Bratober's over now, or almost over.
This is the best win yet. Now, Bratober, we got another.
I guess we got another week.
But we have a different promo code.
All right.
Promo code cowboy-down. Cowboy-down. You earn free Denver steaks with any purchase. Now, here's the deal. You better hurry your asses up. Because that's limited to 10 customers. There's a limited supply of steaks. This is an insane deal. Cowboy-down.
What do you get?
Denver steaks. Like the little rectangle type steaks. I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this. The best steaks I've ever had at home I got from farmstorymeats.com. It goes straight from the farm to you. Shows up right at your doorstep. My man Ray has a million-dollar idea here. I wish I had the drive that Ray did, or Ray does, at his age. I had the drive, but I was trying to do it in sports journalism, which isn't worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Also want to thank our friends at Gravitate Coworking, GravitateCoworking.com. Check it out. Jeff Wood was active on the Twitter yesterday. He's not a fan of that call.
As he should. He had the old Clonado logo on, I saw yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
We could do a whole podcast on the logo talk, by the way, but I don't want to do that.
Different between just buying the retro thing now. He had it from the 90s.
Oh,
that's,
hell
that's
yeah.
Allowed. That's okay.
That's absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of old intramural t-shirts with the Clonado.
Yeah, I mean, if you live through it, you can wear it. I have problems with the kids wearing it now.
Oh, really? This is column. I smell a column.
An old man barking at the cloud here.
Go and check out their membership options at GravitateCoworking.com.
If you didn't live through the Jim Walden era, you can't wear that. Although, I guess that's
happening. Well, wait a minute. Now,
that's incorrect. I should say... The Bruce Vandevelde era.
Did I tell you that I'm going to go, speaking of the Clonado, Bloom and I are now two-thirds of a bottle into Cody Road.
See, now you got people yelling at us.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're alcoholics. No. It's not. The whole point, like, one, Cody Road is a great sponsor of ours.
It is.
And two, it's the bourbon, yeah. We love the bourbon. And three, we like to think what makes this podcast fun, we know we're not smart. It's and because it's just a couple of guys bullshitting about the Cyclones. That's exactly the whole point. Yeah. We're not alcoholics. Just because we drink after we get our kids to bed on a Sunday, and we don't get weekends off, remember that? So, like, this is our time to unwind. So if you're going to call us alcoholics because you hear us for an hour a week, screw you.
So,
sorry.
No, if we're going to have an honest hour here, I apologize to the listeners for not doing the camper podcast.
Yeah, last night. You need that to explain yourself.
That is totally my fault. This is completely my fault, and I do apologize. So, again, I am the world's most average parent, but for the first time, my 3.5-year-old, before we go to the game, so I go early, work the
Yeah, the you get game. You get there really early. Bloom is the brains behind this thing.
The 3.5-year-old comes up to me and is like, "Daddy, why don't you get to go watch the Cy game with us?" Oh, and I just like, oh. Yeah,
that's brutal.
So
that's brutal.
At that point, I'm like, I want to be there. What you need to tell him,
I did this with Cammy when we were doing women's basketball. I always said that I'm getting on a plane with Cy. That's what I always told her.
But then he's like, "Well, when will you be home?" When
I understand, right.
So
it's brutal.
I just like, I couldn't justify spending the night at the camper then.
Well, to be honest, like, so you said, no, I'm not going to do it.
I apologize.
You backed out, and then I looked at the weather forecast, and I saw what Sunday was going to be like, and I was like...
So you're welcome. Yeah. Empty earmuffs. The thing early. Yeah.
Earmuffs, everybody. When I saw what the weather was, I was like, fuck that. And I packed that thing up because I did not want to be tearing down in the 20 degrees and downpours. Rain. Like, I got home... Which actually was quite lovely because I listened to the majority of the Braves game.
Nice.
I got home in the seventh, and there's a beautiful connection between a team and a play-by-play baseball guy and a fan.
That's a fact.
And it was...
That had to be pretty cool for you.
I don't have a lot of success with my teams, you know? Like, I really don't. Like, I'm a Bulls fan, but frankly, was a front runner in the 90s with Jordan, and they were always on WGN. So, like, I didn't earn that, and I didn't really ever – I mean, I was in, like, my low teens. Like, or not low teens. Like, I wasn't a teenager yet.
Right, because you were 11 or 12.
The Braves, the last time the Braves were in the World Series was 99. I'm 14. I was not a front runner with the Braves. I've been with them when they sucked prior to the Sid Sled game.
There you go.
But again, like when you're that young, man, like my teams really have sucked
for a
over
while.
The years. Yeah. And like, I really haven't ever appreciated it. And like, I was like legit, like emotional. Like it was a neat feeling. I was all by myself, which sucked. That's what sucked. I didn't have anyone to share it with.
Sure.
But, other than that though, it was really neat. Like, cause like I say, I tore down the camper and I'm driving home and just listening to that. It was really freaking a great day of sports, man. That was one of the great sports days for me of all time. The only day I think that tops it was the Minneapolis Miracle because I was there with Gray with Carper and Hines.
Sure.
That's one of the great top 10 sports moments in the last like decade probably. And I'm there and like it, but like, man, yesterday, just that crowd, that Iowa State crowd, was so great, and to end it like that, I just had a hell of a day.
That's awesome. And you know, if you think about it, when you're a fan to the level, if you're listening to this podcast that you are, I mean, the great moments are far outnumbered by the bad ones.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, there's only one champion. Everybody's going to lose eventually. So I mean, your odds are horrible being a sports fan. Like, they really are bad.
That's not good.
And so, but there are occasionally those days like yesterday. And that's why, you know, I know Iowa State was favored by 7. Iowa State was expected to win that game. But I will never get tired or never become, a routine thing for me.
Are you going to get into the field charging guy?
Well, not even that. Like, I don't even care about the field. Like, the field is not, that is not a conversation.
I'm so tired of that talk.
I didn't even think twice about that. I'm saying... Enjoy the win.
Yeah.
Because Iowa State's now
no
defeated.
No doubt. Preach, brother.
12.
Look at basketball.
Yeah. Right.
We went from winning Big 12 to going 0-19.
Iowa State's defeated top 10 teams 12 times in 125 years of football. 12 times. Yesterday was one of those. Enjoy it. Like, enjoy it however you want to enjoy it. Sure, Iowa State's probably going to have to pay a $25,000 fine for it. Whatever. Like, it's worth it at this point. If you wanted to brush the field,
Mr. Bergstrom.
You know, I don't know all the finances of the Athletic Department, but I know enough. I don't think $25,000 is going to be a huge issue for them. They would gladly take a win over a top 10 team for that. But no, I just, like, these things.
Is the field storming conversation not like local talk radios?
Don't.
Is it not Pete Rose?
Please don't do it tomorrow.
Oh, we're not doing it. We're not touching it.
We will not touch it. It's like, is it LeBron or MJ?
Condon will probably do it because he likes to find ways to take. To tweak at Iowa State.
Man, his over-under bets look a little more sketchy now, Trent.
No, but like, I mean, should Iowa have charged the field against Penn State? I don't fucking care. Yeah, this is like my third F-bomb. I'm sorry, everybody.
You're going to get that explicit label on this one.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're throwing that
bad boy
down.
I just enjoy the game. And
enjoy it.
We can discuss. I mean,
Brock Purdy's playing the best football of his career. Let's go right there.
He looks like a
pro right now.
You had the numbers.
Yeah.
It is getting to the point.
66 for 80.
Just being filthy.
Seven touchdowns, zero interceptions. That's not counting what he's done on the ground. He is playing out of his mind. And again, like, don't laugh. Caleb Williams didn't dominate Kansas.
No.
You know, like, so he done that on the road at K-State against a top 10 defense nationally in Oklahoma State.
Yes.
He is playing the best football of his career. Brock Purdy looks like he is a top 5 quarterback in college football, maybe even top 3 at this point in the season.
I was going to say, is there anybody playing better right now?
No, I mean.
Maybe the Alabama kid?
I mean, Is there anybody playing better versus is there anybody who would take over him would be a different conversation. Is there anybody playing better than him right now? No. The kid at Pitt is really
good. Yeah, he has been. He's been awesome.
He's lights out. Pickett, yeah.
So speaking of Pitt, I looked this up today. There are five programs in the top 20 of both offense and defense in the SP Plus, which is my favorite analytic ranking system as a data guy.
Yeah, it's good.
I think it's the gold standard.
It's really good.
Five schools. Are you ready for them? Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Pitt, who is coming on, and Iowa State's that fifth school. So the computer still love Iowa State. And
power ratings after this computer will. Iowa State will probably be top 10 again.
They are in some of them already.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. FPI, actually, they moved up from 9 to 8.
Okay.
And then some of the other ones, they're up to 7. So, you know, so it's two-pronged here. Man, the Iowa State from the preseason, this is what we expected, 100%. I mean, the A players are showing. Just think about all of Iowa State's good players, how well they played yesterday. I don't think Xavier Hutchinson's played a better game.
Dude,
every single catch he had was massive.
Yeah.
And they were not easy.
The one on the sidelines was the best play that he got dinged up on.
Yep. Will McDonald changed the game in the second half.
Two games in a row.
Charlie Kohlert did his thing.
Yep.
And then
Chase Allen's playing lights out, but he doesn't get any catches, so nobody realizes.
But his block, he's just a machine. Just a machine. So I didn't share
this story. Russ even.
A week ago,
Russ is playing great ball.
And I was in the Kansas State press box, and I overheard. So
nice press box.
It's very nice. Yeah. Very nice area.
Yeah.
Aggieville. Iowa State's up at halftime, and the coaches are, you know, running towards or getting to the press box, and I'm going towards the restroom facility near the coaching box, and I hear one of them tell the other one, man, those big explicit word that rhymes with MF are giving us all sorts of problems. Basically the tight ends. It's like, we just can't handle all these tight ends. So Chase Allen, even though for two games in a row.
Again, I can relate. I can't handle all these.
For two games in a row, the tight ends, you know, and Chase Allen hasn't put up big numbers receiving, but his ability to initiate the run game has been big. So he was
awesome.
Great. And then Mike Rose is playing through an injury right now, but you know, he's a warrior. He's been battling. Uncertain of the extent of that injury. I think we'll find out more early this week.
Yeah,
Haishim Young was really good. Great guy. So it's like, go up and down the roster. You need those good players to play well, and they certainly have. Not even to mention Breece Hall, who's still seventh, seventh in the country.
Man, I'm going to keep going back to the Brock thing. Like, he is out of his mind right now. Like, the confidence he has in the pocket, like, he is just unreal.
Yeah,
Watch the tape back, guys. Like, the Kansas State and the Oklahoma State games, I think it's the two best games he's played as a Cyclone. Decision-making, leadership, locked in, patience in the pocket, feel. He is playing out of his mind.
Yep, he's only been sacked twice in those two games, too, the last two games.
And so, I think a lot of it, too, is like if you go back to September and watch those games again, and I wouldn't if I were you. I think a lot of that, like, the line wasn't as good as it is now, no doubt.
Sure.
But Brock looked very indecisive. He, throwing balls away that maybe didn't need to. He was out of sorts, and, man, he has figured whatever it is out. And, again, I'll say it, he's a top five, top three type quarterback in college football at this point in time. All right, any meat to pick off of the bone from yesterday? I want to do Blake Henson talk really quick, and then we will play guess the point spreads. Anything else you got?
I think Oklahoma State's really good, so that was a great win.
That's a 10-2, 9-3 type team.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be now we start talking about the championship race from the Big 12, and that's huge. I mean, Iowa State is now definitely in the thick of it, and what a great day. I mean, that is a top, I don't know. I mean, people argue about, was it what type of top five, top 10 in Jack Trice history? I don't know, but it was awesome. And anybody who has experienced that yesterday will remember that one.
There's different types of wins. I've referenced it a couple times, but I'm starting to work on this book. And like the Oklahoma State win in 2011, I have memorabilia up here in my office from that. Was it a great memory in Jack Trice Stadium? Absolutely. It's an all-timer for me. But it's a different type of win than yesterday.
Yes.
Like that, I mean, it was like 92 Nebraska, right? Like, I'm sure you were at that game. That is a different feeling than what you had leaving yesterday. I think West Virginia last year was one of the all-time great wins, leaving knowing we're going to the Big 12 championship game, right?
Yep.
Like, so you can categorize all these. I think, Bloom, you nailed it, and you've been an Iowa State fan way longer than I have. You have all the credibility in the world to say this that I do not. Enjoy them all. And I will only point at basketball. Like, it wasn't very long ago where you're playing for sweet, and now, and we'll get into this right now. Let's do it. You're looking at a roster that I actually think it'll be fun to watch them grow. This reminds me a lot of Fred's first year. Sans, you don't have a senior point guard like Deontay Garrett, who's a pro.
Correct.
And then the greatest shooting guard in the history of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network, Scott Christofferson. But you have a group of what I believe will be grinders, and I think people will appreciate the way that they're going to play basketball. Got more difficult over the weekend.
Did.
I'm not going to say everything here. Something should be left, but I would always encourage you guys to become Patreon subscribers and premium message board subscribers. People ask, how can we help Cyclone Fanatic? That is the number one way you can do it. Subscribe. It's like two cups of coffee a month, and you're keeping your favorite media outlet, the only one that covers the Cyclones 24/7, and that's all we do for free. There you go, my little shameless plug. With that, I'm pointing out we have a lot of information on all of this for those subscribers. Blake Henson quits the team. One thing I'm starting to appreciate about this era, and this does not surprise me knowing the head coach, is that they are very blunt about how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
We kicked Xavier Foster off the team. We parted ways with him, is what the press release said. I did not know about this until you texted me.
Yeah.
By the way, you broke the news to me. I was walking up to Jack Trice Stadium once I had discovered that Kansas was indeed not going to beat Oklahoma. and it says Blake Henson quit the team. Very blunt about it. That's exactly what happened. The program didn't see this coming. Blake reached out to TJ very early. It was Friday or Thursday morning. I believe it was Friday morning.
Friday. Yep.
And just quit. And he had been challenged in many ways, basketball wise, because here's the deal. Like, they're not going to outscore people.
No.
They have to play a certain style to have a chance to win games this year. And contrary to what many believe, they are going to try and win games. This isn't just a free season, right?
Yeah, like there are no draft picks to be gained here.
No. Yeah, exactly.
This is not Philadelphia.
You're trying to set a tone here.
2014, yeah.
And Blake, from what I understand, just flat out quit the team. There was no conversation. There was no...
It's like this had been brewing for months.
Yeah, and then... And again, like, if you're not bought in, again, and this is coming, like, from friend Chris to TJ, if you're not bought into doing it this way, he's not going to screw around this first year. It is all about setting the tone. It is all about when Lipsy and King and they had some 23 guys come up, when those guys show up in the, you know, and the real run starts, and again, mm-hmm. they want to start it now.
Sure.
But they don't want guys slacking off in practice, screwing around, showing up late. Like, this is the way this is going to be. And from what I understood, Blake had been doing a decent job with all that.
Yeah.
This came out of nowhere.
Yep.
And this is a setback, but the young man was not crazy about playing defense. And I can tell you this, Foster and Johnson weren't playing. Like, they were buried on the depth chart.
Okay.
They had a lot of work to do before they were going to play. Blake was a rotation guy who was not going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess, and it said so in the press release, is they had meetings last week
about roles on the team. Yep.
And I'm guessing that Blake did not like the role that was given to him to start the season.
Yep. I think you could read between the lines that if you don't like the role, I'm guessing Blake probably thought he could have been potentially a starter. And then that may have started the process when he learned that he wouldn't be a starter. But long story short, he would have helped.
Oh, he was
probably Iowa State's
three-point shooter, I would say.
First or second best three-point shooter, for sure. Yeah. I mean, him and Kalscher there.
This is not a good thing.
No, I mean,
not spinning that.
It's, and then it's just more front. I mean, now the front court has massive questions. Like, what do you do there? Because the plan was, or at least one of the plans, is you could go small and play Henson at some of the five and four.
Correct. They were working on
that. Well, now can't do that.
And that's so, a lot of wasted practice time because that small lineup was going to be a thing.
And so now you're left with, Condit and Jones and Aruna can maybe play, but he's more of your wing type. Like
he's really struggling right now. So, he's a project.
Yeah, he's not as far along as you may think a transfer from Kansas.
You think four star Kansas he's a young man who I've been compared to Abdul Nader. It took him a while,
but I think from a watchability and an enjoyment standpoint for the fan base, I think the remaining guys. How many are left? I mean, I've 10 guys left.
I'll say this.
They will be fun to watch. They're going to get after it.
But. As long as they don't have like a ton of injuries, which could happen.
Yeah, you never know.
TJ was never going to play a long
rotation
anyways.
Look what Fred did. I mean, it's very, I think, similar. I mean, you're probably going 8-9.
I did talk to TJ today, and we were talking about like rotation, and he goes, our first year with Fred, we only played like 6.5, 7 guys.
Yeah, I remember he's like Calvin Godfrey was like that 7th maybe. Yeah. There's a name from the past.
I will say that Blake Henson is going to be a hell of a trivia question someday. Who was on campus for a year and a half and never played?
The only close to that would be, remember Ray Casongo?
Ray Casongo, yep.
From Tennessee.
So, couple of proms. Guys,
I don't know if you heard how the scrimmage went, but I did have a scrimmage yesterday against South
Dakota
State. Yeah,
I got some details.
That for the premium board.
Yeah, but it's been a very busy weekend.
It has been.
To Crazy enough, the secret scrimmage with South Dakota State was last on my priority list today.
I understand. And I heard it was, I'll just say it was competitive.
Well, it
was competitive scrimmage.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. Iowa State got off to a huge lead. And then a premier player for the Cyclones went 0-for-9 in the second half to let the Jacks creep back into
it. And they're going
to
be pretty good, the Jacks.
Well, they're probably a tournament
team. Yeah, they're the pick for the summit again.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
With like, our buddy Hendo.
Yeah, Hendo's... And
so it wasn't all I know is that, it wasn't all horrible news.
So yesterday for TJ...
That had to be a weird scrimmage
well,
to play.
Well, like, Hendo is one of his really close friends, yeah. And Petey's on that roster. Brian Peterson, former Cyclone. Aaron Glidden, longtime Iowa State guy. I mean, there's so many Iowa State connections.
And good dudes, yep.
So Iowa State had these recruits on campus, along with Lipsy and King. And this Henson deal is breaking loose. And TJ told me that he did not at any point get to talk to Hendo.
Really? So much
because
going
he had
on.
So much going on with stuff, all this man. Other stuff. I'll say this, guys, like, and I think that most Iowa State fans are smart enough to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
It's a rebuild. Yeah. You were 2-22 last year, and that's real. And you don't just snap out of that and go to the tournament. This is not a team like that. I've said a couple times, man, like if they can get to 3-13 like Fred's first year, I will be ecstatic.
For sure.
If they can get better than that, then let's go.
Let's keep going.
Let's go. And they will be very aggressive
in the
with these
market.
Open scholarships in the transfer market. Like there's part of this. Where the first year may be a little more hurting.
This could help in the long
but
run.
But it actually might help for the second year to have that flexibility.
Well, I'll be curious, you know, even by semester, if you get somebody in, you know, by December, who knows who'd even be available. But there's some more flexibility you can have here. But Iowa State fans are smart. They understand what this year is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the non-conference, because I'm doing a lot of them on ESPN+, Plus. There'll be some wins in there. I mean, it's a pretty soft schedule at home. So.
Not that last year.
It'll be better than last year.
I don't know what they pay you at ESPN, but you deserve a raise for doing those empty Hilton Coliseum non-con games.
Rough. It was the worst.
Oh, my God. Like, I don't know what it is. I need to see a shrink about it. I couldn't enter that building. I didn't go to Hilton once last year.
So, you know me.
Not one time.
I'm obsessed with, you know, rewatching, and you do the same thing. You listen to stuff, rewatch stuff.
Yeah.
So I rewatched some of those games from last year that I did, and it's like, I can't do this. It was so painful with an empty Hilton. So it'll be good. I think, you know,
I can't wait for the season. I'm excited to watch these guys grind it out.
First game, though, a little fun fact for everybody, against Kennesaw State. Guess who's assistant coach at Kennesaw State?
You cannot make it up.
Can't make it up.
You cannot make Go ahead. I'll let you break the news. I know who it is.
William Small. The old assistant under TJ, or not TJ, Steve Prohm, excuse me. So Small coming back to town in game number one.
Does Small have to give back portions of his salary? Okay, no. That was inappropriate. Damn it. That was like that tweet that I put out about the refs.
He earned that salary, Chris. paid in full.
Did he, though?
Paid in full. Paid in full. So he's now on the Kennesaw State Owl staff.
I'm glad that Coach, a really good guy, by the way. I'm glad that he landed on his feet.
And so his first game back, and that's Kennesaw State's first game, too. Go Owls.
Is that who they are?
The Owls.
You're already doing your research?
Yeah, I have. So I'm doing with the most popular person of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network, Scotty Christofferson.
There
He's
you go.
He's doing the analyst this year.
That's awesome. Scotty's really benefiting from the TJ Otzelberger era.
He's going to be really good.
I don't want to brag him up too much, but the first pod that he did with us was awesome.
I've had a couple just conversations with Scott. He's going to be really good in that. He's going to be really good on TV, too.
I think he's going to be an awesome.
ESPN Plus may not be the end of Scotty Christofferson on TV.
No, I'm telling you, like, we're going to do a pod this week on all the roster movement.
Okay, but be good.
Like, I told him... After the first, because he like really is trying hard, and he told me when I asked, so I asked him to do this. I had asked him before the TV stuff came around, and he told me, he's like, oh, this is like a dream come true to me. And then the TV stuff happened, and then he's going to New York to do radio with me you. While you guys have football.
Yep.
And like Scott is real, you know who he reminds me of is Jess Settles.
Yes.
Jess works his ass off. Like when he was doing our show on KXNO on Mondays, I'd see him at Hilton scouting with a notebook, and like he took it super seriously. And that's what Scott's doing. It's been really difficult to find a former Cyclone basketball player who will put in the hours, and Scott is really embracing that. Yep. So it's going to be a net win for the fan base because he's super dedicated to this. And shout out to him too. His wife is pregnant with twins right now.
Oh, buddy. So good luck, pal.
I told him, I'm like, is your wife okay with all this? He's like, oh yeah, she's great. I'm like, okay, call me 3 weeks after they're born.
Let's talk then.
Speaking of wackiness, which is, I mean, you bring those kids home for the first time.
Good luck, pal.
You may as well just play this in the background. All right. It's about 10:15 on a Sunday. You know what that means?
Catching the nation by storm.
Guess those Big 12 point spreads.
I saw the Iowa State one already. I'm disqualified. Just get to that right now.
Hey, real quick, guess the Iowa-Wisconsin number.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Man, there's not many.
I mean, it's one of the lowest in history.
Yeah, it's impossible almost to be under 40 in a college football game.
Well.
42. 42.
36 and a half. Seriously.
No, it's not.
I swear to God, look. And apparently it's been bet down because one of these casinos has it at 36.
Do you realize that's 20 to 17 and you're over?
Right. Would you play the over?
Yeah. Percentages, buddy. Big data guy here.
Bloom loves himself some
where's
data.
Where's that game?
That's in Madison. All right. Texas is at Baylor.
Oh, boy.
Both coming off of a bye.
Wow. Wow. The power rankings love Texas. They love them. I'm going to go Baylor 1.5.
2.5.
Okay. That's a win.
That's a good one. Good call. Cincinnati is at my Green Wave, the Tulane Green Wave.
Are we rooting for Cincinnati? Or like, are we honest?
Yeah, yeah. They need to go to the playoff. Would you rather Cincinnati go to the playoff or Oklahoma and Iowa State gets the money?
And truth be told, it's not that much more money.
Yeah, it's not a lot. You're right.
Because Bowlesby talked about this week.
Yeah.
Where?
So we can root against.
Yeah,
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Bowlesby said as much. He's like, yeah, it's root against Oklahoma. Honestly,
he hates Oklahoma and Texas.
No, he's against him. 20 points.
25.5.
It's close.
My Green Wave. Some Willie, friend of the program, Willie Fritz. Real problems on that Green Wave defense this year.
Pretty problematic.
They're brutal. Clones at West Virginia, -7. The number is 47.
Okay, I think that's dead on.
I do, too. I think I'd still probably play Iowa State. Iowa State's playing really well.
A huge win for them, though, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this game is a little bit nerve-wracking because they ran for 240 last night.
Are you shocked at how bad Clemson is?
Yes. Yes.
Only a 10-point favorite against Florida State.
They can't.
Florida State is coming on strong, though.
Their offense is worse than Wisconsin's right now.
TCU at Kansas State. This is a 2:30 kick.
How about when you sold your stock on Gary Patterson?
Yeah.
You were way ahead of the game.
I was doing that a year and a half ago.
I mean, he's like 13-19.
They're not any good.
In the last 32 Big 12 games.
Honestly, I've said it a million times. The guy's out there recording country music videos.
He's got a statue there. I mean, what do you do? Can you fire Gary Patterson?
You can fire guys with statues.
What's that? They're at K-State?
Yeah.
K-State by 6.
That is Kansas State by 3.
Okay.
Numbers 59.5. Texas Tech at Oklahoma.
Oh, boy. Texas Tech at Oklahoma. OU still getting love. OU by 20. 20.
Not bad. 19.
Yep.
68 and a half is the number. I wish VEASAN had like a way to do this by conference. It'd make it a lot easier. Kansas, the Jayhawks.
They're coming. Round of applause for Kansas.
Lance Leipold, man, they damn near beat Oklahoma.
That entertained me for 2.5 hours yesterday.
Kansas is at Oklahoma State. The no-brainer. This is my lock of the week.
Oklahoma State, 25.
31.
Ooh, what's your lock there?
Play Kansas.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, honestly, like, Oklahoma State doesn't beat teams by 30.
Well, their offense is very average. Very average offense. Sanders, he played well yesterday. Kudos to him.
Brent, he was, okay, 400.
Well, he did, yeah.
300. Like, they were playing 500. Those were not like, oh, that was a well-designed play.
Fair enough.
His receivers were making insane plays, which props to them. SMU is at our Houston Cougars.
So SMU's undefeated.
Yeah, SMU's really good. The Pony Express is back.
I got a guy who works at SMU.
Oh, nice.
Good dude.
Good for him.
Yeah. So he's all aboard the train here. I think SMU by 5.
That is a pick 'em.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Houston won one of the all-time weird games yesterday. It was a vintage, like, Iowa State 6-hour rain delay.
Oh, one of those.
And then they came out, and the games went into overtime. Houston beat East Carolina.
You know, it was a good thing that...
Guess who was still up watching the last game in college football?
Williams.
Other than New Mexico State, Hawaii.
Good thing Dana wasn't in Ames. Would have had a lot more unprofessional fans yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of unprofessional fans.
They were all over the savages. Virginia is at BYU.
So this is Mendenhall back home.
Yeah, Bronco.
Yep. Oh, God. BYU by 10.
2.5.
That's it?
Virginia's good.
Are they?
Yeah, they're actually.
News to me.
You need to watch more average ACC football.
How about this? In the ACC, you could have a Wake Forest Pitt ACC championship to get to the playoff.
That's what's insane to me.
This year's going to be crazy. This next month is going to be nuts.
Well, but when people talk about, like, the new Big 12, it's absolutely better than the Pac-12 and the ACC.
Oh, completely. Especially with Clemson taking a dive here.
And I will say this. Does Dabo Swinney have the, like, wherewithal within him?
To go to LSU?
Well, I would say more to evolve, like Saban did, and, like... Because
he's got to fire his offensive coordinator. I mean, that's step number one.
But he said after yesterday's game, I'm not making staff changes.
Wow. Well, that's putting yourself in a box you don't need to be in. Because he doesn't call plays. So he's purely a recruiter GM type.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, did you hear my monologue on KXNO this week about why he should unequivocally take the LSU job if he gets... I think I'm onto something, but the ACC is going to be so far behind financially compared to the teams that he's expected to compete with.
So either he needs to get Clemson to join that premier SEC league, or...
That's my point.
They're going to be behind the eight ball there.
Yeah, I think him and Jimbo would both be smart to seriously consider the LSU job.
This will be an interesting offseason.
I would say for Iowa State fans, like, and I'm not trying to rumor monger, watch the Penn State deal. They will target Campbell.
Yeah, if Franklin goes to USC.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where the talk would come from. I'm not saying anything.
You're just being logical.
Yeah.
Yeah, LSU, USC, not a concern. Penn State would be more logical.
All right, we'll go out with this. When you said put Jimbo, or not Jimbo.
Dabo.
Dabo in a box.
What year was this? Oh, you know it's Christmas, and my heart
is open wide. 2006.
Yeah. So you know what's on my mind. Do you realize there's college students listening to this? Like, what? They were like 5. So
if you're a college kid and you haven't seen this, it's in a box. Go and check it out on YouTube. You're missing out.
Oh, man.
Thanks to MechDyne.
Are you sure? They might question their decision making.
No, they love it.
I know.
All right, we appreciate y'all. Have a great week.
See you in Morgantown.
See you in Morgantown. The greatest road trip in the Big 12.
I, honestly, people, if I would recommend one place to go, it's Morgantown.
Me too. Ryan Hillary, friend of the program. We mentioned him last week. He's on his way.
You've had a couple good nights in Morgantown.
I love Morgantown.
It's great place.
I have a really tough decision to make right now. I have an open invite from another friend of the pod, Grant, to go to the World Series games 3, 4, and 5.
Where's it? Is it start in Houston?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Atlanta? Yeah, it starts in Houston.
Buddy, I think you got to do one. When will the Braves? It's been 22 years.
I think what I might do is see how games 1 and 2 go. If we get one, and I think we can win it in Atlanta.
Get that refundable flight.
Well, my biggest deal is my priority, to be honest, like, I kind of want to be back for trick-or-treating with my daughters.
Yeah.
But I think that if I tell the girls 10 years from now, hey, I missed, like, trick-or-treating in 21 because I was at the Braves World Series game, cool. I think they'd be like, yeah, that's well, cool. Good for you.
Yeah. What are the costumes, though?
We have a witch and we have a black cat. What are the boys going as?
We got two firefighters, and we're dressing up the wagon as a fire truck.
I love it, man. We're supporting servicemen and women
that's
here.
That's right. But I'll be in Morgantown.
In the United States. Well, you're doing God's work with the Cyclones.
I just hope that field judge is not there.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening. Rate, subscribe, review. You're the man,
no,
Bloom.
No more.
Great week.
Altering your stride in the end zone, everybody. Yeah. Xavier.
Yeah.
Normal steps,
hey,
pal.
When you turn in that report to your boss tomorrow, don't alter
normal
your stride.
Normal stride.
Don't look back.
Do not celebrate. Normal stride, everybody. Unless you work for MechDyne, Clover would appreciate it.
Have a great week, guys.
Delicious, the sins that were dead on the vine. From the lips to the hips, we're complicit in meeting the tail each time. Keep living in the reverie. The future. But now, this is the moment.